The message today is God is ready. What about you? Yeah? God is ready. What about you? It was Tuesday morning, I believe. I had a job interview at 11 a.m., I believe. I woke up early, looked outside. The sun was blazing in all its glory. It was going to be a wonderful day. I dressed according to the weather. Because I was attending an interview, I put on my jacket and my tie. You know, it was hot, so I had my jacket on my arms. The walk to the station took about half an hour, I believe. Now, I noted that some people had raincoats on. Others had their raincoats on their arms. Some people even had umbrellas, which I thought was strange. Anyway, I was about 5 minutes away from the station when I noticed clouds moving across the sky. The sun seemed to have disappeared. All of a sudden, I noticed drops of rain falling on my face. Well, I had to take shelter somewhere. For over half an hour, I waited for the rain to stop. It did not stop. Well, in a state of panic before I missed the train, I ran through the rain to get to the station. Well, when I reached the station, I noticed that the train had been delayed because there was a train strike. Now, there was no way that I was going to attend my interview on time. Now, feeling down at the station, I thought to myself, how unwise I was, because I did not check the weather and transport news, which was freely available. If I checked, I would have been able to make other arrangements, and surely I would have reached my appointment in time. In other words, I had no excuse for missing that appointment because the information was out there. I should have been prepared. Well, brothers and sisters, God is right now ready to make his move. Are we prepared? You know, in this epidemic, so-called, God's people should be calm in the storm, while all others are panicking or in a state of panic and uncertainty.
Mom.
Why? Because we have information that no one else has. Today, the objective of this message is to let you know that you do not have to be confused about what is happening around us. If you want to know about the weather today, check out the weather news. If you want to know about the travel situation, check out the travel news. If you want to know about COVID-19, check out the government website, COVID-19 updates. Well, if you want to know about last day's events, you need to check out the Bible, the Word of God. Let us pray. Father, the question today is prepared or unprepared? Lord, please open our minds and help us not to always be getting ready, not to always be making preparation, but help us, oh Lord, to be ready. Help us, oh Lord, to, as one sister told me, Lord, She is ready. Come what may. She lives each life as one who is ready to meet her maker. So Lord, help each one of us to have these sentiments in our heart. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 On his way to the cross, the Bible says to us, Luke 23:28, that Jesus, on his way, Jesus turning unto them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and your children." You see, Jesus looked forward to the destruction of Jerusalem, and he saw the destruction of many in that crowd that day.
Where's Pastor from God?
The inspired word or inspiration tells us that not one Christian perished in the destruction of Jerusalem. The simple reason why not one perished, it's because they were informed and prepared Christians who heeded the words of Jesus and were able to comprehend the signs of the times. You see, Christ had given his disciples warnings, and all who believed his words and watched for the promised sign were saved from the impending doom of Jerusalem. You see, what did Jesus tell them? Jesus said to them, "When ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out." Brothers and sisters, if you trust God, you cannot go wrong. Did you hear what I said? If you trust in the Lord, you cannot go wrong. The Apostle Peter says, we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawns and the day star arises in your hearts. 2 Peter 1:19. Peter is saying to us that the written word is an even more reliable source of truth than his own experience. To paraphrase, Peter's message to his readers is this: James and John and I saw Christ's glory firsthand. But if you don't believe us, there is one authority even more certain than our testimony. It is the written word of God. Now, not long after Jesus made the statement to the daughters of Jerusalem, the Bible tells us that Jesus was crucified. Scholars of history and theologians tell us that Christ died around AD 30 or AD 34. Now, most of what we know about the apostles that came from ancient Christian writers and church tradition. Now, according to church tradition, Peter was killed by the Emperor Nero around 64 AD. James was the first of Jesus' disciples or apostles to die. He is one of the only two apostles whose death is recorded in the Bible. The other, of course, is Judas. Now, James was executed with the sword. We can read about that in the book of Acts 12. Now, contrary to popular belief, Paul's death is nowhere recorded in the Bible, but it's one of the most well-documented martyrdoms in the early church. Numerous early church fathers wrote that he was beheaded by the Emperor Nero, which would mean it had to be sometime between 68 AD to 70 AD. Now, if tradition is to be believed, all the apostles except John had passed away. Now, at the siege of Jerusalem in the year AD 70, only John remained alive to witness the prophecy of the destruction of Jerusalem as spoken of by Jesus. The siege of the city began in 14th of April, AD 70, 3 days before the Passover that year. Because of the Passover, many Jews from foreign lands had come to worship in the temple. Now, these were sadly caught up in the siege. Now, the Bible, now, historians tell us that the siege lasted for about 4 months. It ended in August AD 70, and the burning and destruction at the burning and destruction of the second temple. Now, when all seemed lost to the Christians in the city, for there were Christians in Jerusalem at that time, something strange happened. The Christians were in the city, and it seemed that they were going to die. This was a siege, and they were surrounded. At that point, to try to leave the city would be certain death. Brothers and sisters, when you are in Christ, you have hope. Christ does not leave you without hope. Did you hear what I said? When all seemed lost, listen to me now. When all seemed lost, when it seemed that they had been waiting in vain, that they were going to die, God will always find a way out for us. Always. The Roman emperor, the governor of Judea at the time, was Gaius Florus. While the gate of the temple was set on fire and the besieged began to panic, and some, it was said, offered to open up the city gates. The city was about to fall into the hands of the Romans. It was as if at that time that God remembered his promise. Now, do not get me wrong. God does not forget anything. I'm talking on a human level. Suddenly, Florus, the governor, stopped, and without having suffered any reverse and contrary to all calculations, retired from the city. Now, upon his retreat, the Jews from the city sallied from Jerusalem, pursuing after his army, and while both forces were thus fully engaged, the Christians had an opportunity to leave the city. Brothers and sisters, many who died in Jerusalem rejected God's offer of salvation. Many probably met Christ in person, witnessed his miracles. However, sadly, many cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" on that fateful day. The lesson for us today is only those who believed and acted upon his word, the word of God, were able to make it through the destruction of the beloved city. Did you hear what I said? You see, this tells me that we too can make it through what is about to befall this world. Only if we heed our Savior's words and act upon it. In other words, make preparation. Now, you and I know that you do not have to be an intelligent, a wise person, or even a prophet to understand that at the present time, our world is in turmoil. World conditions are alarming. World leaders are seeking answers to some of the greatest problems society has ever faced. An uncertain future looms on the horizon. You see, COVID-19 goes where it wants. There is no safety even in the White House. The superpowers, Russia, China, and the USA, are facing an uncertain future. The interdependent world economy is on a shaky ground. Moral conditions are rapidly deteriorating. There are wars all over the world which barely or never make the headlines. School violence is rampant. Weather patterns seem to be out of control. World hunger is increasing. Tens of thousands of refugees cross international borders seeking a safe sanctuary. Now, one man has 10 Rolls Royces and goes to bed contented without a thought for the millions who are dying for lack of just one meal a day or even a drop of water. So people everywhere are asking the question, what do these things mean? What is going on? It is becoming obvious to us, I believe, that Boris has not the answer. The isolation of President Trump brings it home that he does not have the answer. JSA Today, there is a book which is collecting dust in most of people's households, surely not Seventh-day Adventist households, which seem to mirror what is happening in our world today. The book is, as you all know, the Bible. The Bible presents itself as having the answer to the world problem. In the Bible, Jesus says, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The truth is, Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. That was thousands of years ago. So Jesus says to us, repent ye and believe the gospel. For the Bible says, for he, Jesus, shall save his people from their sins. You know, saints of God, the gospel is good news. Not good news about prosperity in this world. Not good news about good health in this world. It is good news about Jesus who will save us from our sins. Because it is sin that separates us from God, and the wages of sin is death. Now, brothers and sisters, like the disciples, we do not like to hear hard truths. It makes us uncomfortable. Now, this is not the time to feel comfortable. This is not the time for comfortable messages. Now, the book of Acts highlights a church on fire for Jesus. A church under great persecution. You know, its members understood what was said in Acts 14:22, which states, comforting the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. According to church tradition, Luke wrote the book of Acts. If that be the case, Luke is saying Paul and Barnabas were comforting the saints and encouraging them to hold on to Jesus. However, remember, we will have to go through great difficult times before we enter into the kingdom of God. There will be sickness in the home, betrayal of the marriage vows, jealousy in the workplace, lack of finance, scorn in the church, endless children problems, persecution for the word. Trials seem to be everywhere among us to an extent that many are echoing the words of the psalmist. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, for they are no bands in their debt, but their strength is firm. In other words, while we are going through this hardship, the wicked and foolish are prospering. While we are falling through sickness, the wicked are prospering. I'm asking the question, why me, Lord? Why me, Lord? Why, Lord? All I'm trying to do is to serve you faithfully, Lord. So the Apostle Peter has a word for us today. He says it calmly. He says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. You know, this is what Christians go through. It's no strange thing. Saints, before you lose hope, let me shout it out. The gospel is good news. And do you want to know what the good news is? The Bible says, Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but there is hope. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. What did the psalmist say? The Lord delivers him out of them all. Not just some, all. We will have persecutions. We will have afflictions. But the Bible says the Lord will deliver us out from it all. Are you following me? Now, God's way of deliverance may not be the way that we would like it to be. But God's way is always the best way, because God knows what he's doing. If God was to deliver me the way I wanted to be delivered, I would probably be lost. I would probably be lost. However, I do not want you to miss this point. Jesus discipled the disciples for over 3 years. However, they failed to understand or comprehend the basics of the gospel. For Jesus said to them, Mark 8:31, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Now, this was not what the disciples wanted to hear. It is the same with us. There are some messages we do not want to hear. The disciples had other ideas, other expectations, and other plans. Jesus dying on the cross was not one of them. Jesus, however, made the message plain. Then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Although Peter was adamant with his answer, he did not have the foresight of 1 Corinthians 10:12, which says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Now, even if he did, because Jesus' words are sure and steadfast, Peter could not stop himself from fulfilling the prophecy concerning himself. If Jesus says it will happen, it will come to pass. Did you hear me now? It will come to pass. I would like to say today, our preoccupation should be focused upon the preparation of the second coming of Jesus. For this is one of the most important Bible truths, if not the most important. In Matthew's gospel, Christ clearly indicates the signs that would precede his return. What would happen before he returns? What the conditions of the world would be like? Now, looking at the temple in Jerusalem, Jesus said something that I'm sure came as a shock to each one of the hearers. In full view was the magnificent building of the temple. The rays of the setting sun lighted up the snowy whiteness of its marble walls and gleamed from golden gates and towers and pinnacles. The perfection of beauty, it stood the pride of the Jewish nation. In the reign of Herod, Jerusalem had not only been greatly beautified, but by the erection of towers and walls and fortresses, adding to the natural strength of its situation. It had been rendered apparently impregnable. It was a fortress. Now, Jesus, being who he was, knew how to get his disciples to pay attention. All you need to do is talk about the temple. So Jesus declared to his disciples, see, this house is left to you desolate. Not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. I could imagine the disciples thought that such an event as cataclysmic as the destruction of the temple at Jerusalem must be the end of the world. In a magnificent prophecy, Jesus answered their questions about the destruction of Jerusalem and the end of the world. Now, the disciples had been filled with awe and wonder at Christ's prediction of the overthrow of the temple, and they desired to understand more fully the meaning of his words. Matthew 24:3 tells us, and as he sat upon Mount Olive, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us what shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world. When will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world? I believe if we could speak to Jesus today, we would ask him, when are you coming, Lord? Now, is there a more important question? In fact, the disciples actually asked two questions. When will these things be? Or when will Jerusalem be destroyed? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the world? Now, Jesus blended the two events together. Events that led to the destruction of Jerusalem by Titus in AD 70 were miniature events that would occur on a grander scale just before the return of Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Let me explain to you what I mean by watch and pray." For Jesus had told them, "But of the day and hour, no one knows but my Father only." Then he said to his disciples, "Watch and pray. Watch what is going on around you and pray." So to give him an example of what he meant by watch and pray, he told him the parable of the fig tree. "Now, Lord, a parable," he said to them, "of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and put up forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. Likewise, ye, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door." Now, he gives us a lot of signs. He said there shall be wars and rumors of wars. We're always talking about that. He talks about signs occurring in the natural world, famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in diverse places. We're always talking about that. Signs in the social world. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, unloving, lovers of pleasure. We all know about that. The Bible talks about, as it is in the days of Noah, they ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage. We know about that. We're always talking about that. The Bible talks about world economy, the wicked, but the Bible tells us that the wicked shall not prosper. Realizing the condition of the last day Christians, Jesus is saying to us, now listen to me now, Jesus is saying to us, set your minds on the things above, not on things that are on earth. Galatians 3:2. We are preoccupied, the Bible tells us, with the things of this world, so the warning is given. Take heed. The Lord is speaking to us, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that they come upon you unaware. Brothers and sisters, set your minds on things above. You know, I believe that we as a people should be looking for signs in the religious world. It is not being paranoid to keep abreast in what is happening in the Vatican City. It seems that it is only when we hear something concerning the Sunday law, we stand to attention. However, Our preparation should be based on what was written over 100 years ago. Now, what was that? I'm sure you've heard of the spirit of prophecy. Well, the word is, it was stated over 100 years ago, and our eyes have to be on this, that Romanism in the old world and apostate Protestantism in the new world will pursue a similar course towards those who honor all the divine precepts. Inspiration goes on to say, when Protestantism, and we are Protestants, shall stretch her hands across the gulf to grasp the hand of the Roman power, when she shall reach over the abyss to clasp hands with spiritualism, when under the influence of this threefold union, our country shall repudiate every principle of its constitution as a Protestant and Republican government, and shall make provision for the propagation of papal falsehood and delusions, then we may know that the time has come for the marvelous working of Satan, and that the end is nigh. Through the two great errors, the immortality of the soul and Sunday sacredness, Satan will bring the people under his deception. When the former lays the foundation of spiritualism and the latter creates a bond of sympathy with Rome. For the Bible tells us that they shall be what? False Christs and false prophets, who will deceive many as the earth's end approaches. The devil will double his efforts to deceive. The devil is trying to deceive us. He wants to deceive us. Millions will turn to counterfeit source of truth. Falsehood will abound. Lies will be accepted as truth. False religious leaders will deceive many. There are many Christian denominations in the world than any other time known to man. There are Christian churches, denominations everywhere you turn, all kinds of names. You may believe that witchcraft and black magic is dead. Oh no, my friends, they have just become sophisticated. Their occult and astrology will capture the imagination of gullible people who are looking for answers to life's deepest questions. I'm saying that we are told that these are signs we need to look for. It is a spiritual battle that we are facing. A spiritual battle. And while we are preoccupied with COVID-19, preoccupied with the cares of this world, preoccupied with the other signs, rumors of wars, marrying and giving in marriage, while we are preoccupied, the enemy of our faith is using these things to bring the world together. However, if Christ is coming soon and we are living in the last days, the clearest indication that Christ is coming soon is Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to in all the world, and then shall the end come. One of the greatest signs of the nearness of Christ's return is the rapid spread of the gospel throughout the world. Now, in the 21st century, our world has become a global village. The gospel is now going to all the world with a speed that would have left the Apostle Paul amazed. Sophisticated satellites, communication systems, such as the internet, satellite technology, interlinking computers, the World Wide Web, and mass media, television, and radio communications are in reality a gift that God is using to spread the gospel at an incredible speed. You know, we have had these technologies for years. We have become so isolated in our thinking that God has had to open our eyes to the possibility of technology. If not for COVID-19, we would be carrying on the same old way, arguing, fussing, complaining, and fighting our way on a weekly basis, thinking we are doing fine. Saints, there is always hope with Jesus. The Bible says, 1 Peter 1:6-7, in this pandemic, in this COVID-19 situation that we find ourselves in, you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. But who can endure, Malachi 3, 2 and 3, but who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller soap. He will sit as a smelter and purify of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, so that they may present to the Lord offerings in righteousness. The trials that we are going through is not because the devil doesn't like us. Many of the trials that we are going through, it's God's way of presenting us to him as an offering of righteousness. Now Jesus tells us how we should react to all the signs of his return. Luke 21, 18, he says to us, look up and lift your heads, because your redemption draweth nigh. For those who are unprepared, the second coming may be very frightening. And this is where we need to spend more time with our children and our grandchildren who do not understand what is happening around them, and helping them to understand what is going to happen. Because our children are wondering what's going on here, are frightened, not knowing what is happening. It is time for us to step up, spending time studying with our children and grandchildren, for helping them to understand. For the experience of those who love him and long for his return is dramatically different. We are not frightened. Our hearts are filled with eager anticipation. We're waiting for Jesus to come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. We joyfully, I believe, await his coming. Our Savior, our Lord, our King already rules in our hearts. But for our children and our grandchildren, we need them to have Jesus as Savior and Lord and King ruling in their hearts. You see, it may be sad to say that if we don't spend time with our children, helping to understand, and that's part of making preparation. If we don't spend time with our children, helping them to understand, it's like the young child in school who was in a cookery class, and the teacher says, picked up one of those wooden spoons. And she said to the children, what are these used for? The child said, that is what my mom used to beat me with. You hear what I said? If we don't train our children to understand certain things, it is not the strangers, it is not our enemies, it is those of our own household who in the last days will betray us. Not knowingly, but unknowingly. So we need to step up, helping our children to understand. So saints, please, let us not be always making ready. Let us not to always be preparing. Let us be ready and prepared. Let us be ready and prepared. God bless you all and have a blessed Sabbath. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we all know in our hearts our condition. Lord, we know that the time is short. It is not a time for panic. It is a time to make those preparations sure, to be prepared. It is not a time to be getting ready, but to be ready. That when we go to sleep at nights, come what may, we are ready to meet our Maker. So let us, Lord, in this time around us, let us be prepared and help others to be prepared. But let us start in our household, Lord, where we know that our sons, our daughters, our grands, or maybe our brothers and sisters, whatever they be, we know that they may not be ready. So let us spend some time helping them to understand the signs of the times and what is going on around us. I remember my sister, racked with pain, sickness abound in her system. Although in pain, although taking the necessary tablets and whatever it is, Lord, while her family and her friends, her church friends, are worried and concerned about her, she can say, I know my Redeemer lives. And I'm not getting ready anymore. I'm not making preparations anymore. I am ready and I am prepared to meet my Maker at any time. I will not be distracted by my present situation. I will not be distracted by the pain. I will not be distracted by the thought that I may not have much time to live. My main concern is to make my calling and election sure, and I am ready and I am prepared. Let that be the sentiments of each one of us here today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.